This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
And it's Geek Squawks. My name is Jeff Sandu, together with Culture Pop's Matt Armitage, who is still celebrating his 100th MSP episode that just happened earlier on.
It is great to be 100. I've always wanted to reach that age.
Anyways, I picked this story because I think, you know, after 100 episodes of MSPs, it's also time to reflect on how we're doing in terms of, you know, being... Me and you have been doing the show for like more than 9 years, coming 10 next year. And there's a whole bunch of new startups that have emerged in this space.
Before I let you go into the story, I have to say, when you sent me this link, I tried to read this article.
It is tough.
It is tough.
You need a spreadsheet.
No, what I needed was more hope than I actually possess in my body. I got through about six paragraphs and I was just like, no, I can't read this. So I'm sorry. I'll let you explain and I'll chip in.
And the reason being is, you know, it's always useful for you to measure when you do business meetings, sales meetings, and there's this thing called a CRM, your customer relationship manager in that sense, right? So what it does, it will help you to make your business more efficient, make you seem like you are running the efficient boat, the ship.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
You know, you manage your sales pipeline, you follow up with leads.
We all use it.
Yeah, you know, the software prompts you. Mm. And it's great for managing businesses as well, because like you said, I mean, the leads you're using, following up with people about shows, and often you put things off. You know, you think, oh, I'll do a story with that person in 3 or 6 months, and you can just set a notification. It'll remind you to get back in touch. Yeah.
So there's a whole bunch of new startups that are now coming into space that are helping people to manage their relationships the same way that you would do with sales leads.
And this is where I say, no.
But think about it, right? So CRM, it was popularized in the late 1990s and the early 2000s, and it has become so mainstream now because a lot of these companies, they're worth, you know, millions of billions of US dollars, like Salesforce, HubSpot, MailChimp. And then personal CRM is now the new thing, but it's for your personal life. Same thing with your work, but for personal life. So it's networking,
dating.
Sorry,
can I just interject? No.
Making new friends, Matt. Come on, you know, making friends with people who could also turn out to be valuable professional connections. Going on dates with people who turned out to be, you know, not so good at that, you know, professional connections.
For sure, but
you get to rate them.
I know,
but don't you want to rate friends?
No, I don't want to rate friends. That's what LinkedIn is for. And LinkedIn is already a soul-sapping experience.
We both may say no, but there are a whole bunch of startups. I'm just going to run through a few of them. And they're all mostly coming out from Y Combinator Accelerator Program, which is where, you know, Airbnb and I think Dropbox also came out.
Absolutely, but
there.
I think one of the telling facts about these software, I'll let you list them in a second, is one of the companies that was contacted by The Atlantic for this article didn't comment back because they said they were too busy managing the software. Now, if you're running a company that is marketing, managing software for relationships, if you're too busy to actually talk to the media talking about this stuff, that doesn't suggest that this kind of software has much value, apart from what I was mentioning in the previous MSP about get-rich-quick schemes.
Yeah. So there's a company called Axios, which reported in August under the headline, Optimizing Your Friendship. There's a tool called Dex, which turns acquaintances into allies. There's Clay, there's Hippo. And Hippo is only like $1.49 a month that can help you to stay attentive and keep track of family, friends, colleagues that you care. There's Plum Context, which will send reminders to your friends and reward you with cartoon berries. Don't you want one of those, man?
No, and I'm also very scared of the kind of person that wants to turn friends into allies.
Yeah, that really, really
frightens me.
There's also Garden, which stated on your website, it says, when life gets busy, sometimes we need to be reminded to enjoy our most meaningful relationships. That's on their website itself.
I mean, at least garden sounds friendly. I mean, I honestly would welcome a cult versus the, I don't know, some of these apps sound psychopathic to me. Yeah. At least with a cult, there's that element of friendship and rubbing it. Yeah, exactly.
There's an Irish company called Monaro, which is one of the Y Combinator's companies. Their focus is only on like your 10 to 15 closest relationships. So not only Monaro will remind you of a loved one's birthday, but it will also go one step further, suggesting specific gifts that you can buy. It can help you plan a date night. It can remember to, you know, it can remind you to call your parents regularly. I mean, it's like a personal assistant now.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about here.
In fact, somebody might even call it a personal assistant, which there are plenty of already sitting on our phones. And also the idea that you need help to manage relationships with 10 or 15 people. Come on, get real. I mean, that's something that you can do. For most of us, that's fingers and one foot. In my case, that's just fingers.
Yeah. One hand especially.
One hand, yeah. You know, that is not a difficult ask.
Yeah, and that's the thing, though. A lot of these are still in their first version. They, you know, may have just launched in 2018, 2019, and they appear in the productivity section of the App Store. I'm with you on this. I don't think we need something like this. This is, again, one of, like you mentioned in MSP 100, it's telling that this is how the millennials work and this is how they have, you know, tuned their life with. And we're saying, oh, you know, it's too busy to deal with life, so we need to have more of this kind of stuff. No, we don't. We're human beings and that's what we're good at.
I imagine that, give it 2 years, most of these companies will have pivoted to renting electric unicycles and still claiming that their core DNA has not been compromised.
Anyways, when we come back, we do have King of Culture and we'll have GeekTunes after this, BFM 89.9.
Books, figurines, movies. BFM 89.9, the business station.
And we're back and it's now time for King of Culture.
And my King of Culture is, it's a metaphysical one today. It is to stop binging. Now, we know that a lot of the new streaming services from Apple and Disney are going to go back to that original TV model of streaming episodes once a week, releasing episodes once a week. Now, on other services, shows like Better Call Saul, Preacher, they've also been released on a weekly basis. And there is something to consuming like that. I've actually started cutting down on the amount of binging that I'm doing. I'm watching probably about half a dozen different series on the various platforms at the moment. And I kind of limit myself now to one or two episodes at a time. And I find I'm actually enjoying them a lot more because I'm thinking about them more. I have that takeaway from them. I'm watching teen zombie show Daybreak at the moment, which is complete and utter trash, but it's actually put together in a really nice way. And they actually changed the way that the show is produced from episode to episode. They steal a lot of tropes. I mean, it's utterly magpie-like. I mean, it just robs from everyone. But watching single episodes is allowing me to actually think about the way that it's shot. And I actually appreciate the humor in the show a lot more. So, and I'm doing the same with podcasts as well. You know, I'm spreading out the podcasts. I'm not binging on the shows so much. Spreading everything out, even with the books that I'm listening to, I listen to a bit, then I watch a bit of TV, then I listen to a podcast. Whereas before, you know, I would just play the book for hours and hours at a time and get through it as quickly as possible. I think the time has maybe come to experiment with that model again, you know, slow down that consumption of culture, appreciate a little bit more. You know, it's having meals rather than an all-you-can-eat buffet. You know, it's like stop gorging yourself and actually start appreciating and enjoying the content more, and then you appreciate the value as well. It becomes less disposable and less kind of throwaway. And also, I find that if I'm watching something and I'm not enjoying it, I don't feel the pressure to watch the other episodes. Whereas before, I would just sit there and watch all 73 episodes of the show that I wasn't really liking. And, you know, now I've kind of slowed it down and I discard the stuff I don't like. And I'm, you know, using a lot more quality control, I think.
So King of Culture is taking it slow.
It is. It is to appreciate culture, take it slow, and, you know, maybe not binge so much.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you on this. Now, let's talk about... We've spoken about something similar to this before, I think, with Gemini Man, and in terms of, like, who owns the rights for a CGI character. Now, this is, like, another step further of, you know, when you look at the advancements of how movie and CGI is going to, because James Dean is actually making a return to the big screens more than 60 years after, you know, in his fatal car crash. And this is thanks to two VFX company. Finding Jack is the movie which will be set within the Vietnam era. Dean isn't going to be the leading role, but he is going to be sort of like the secondary lead role. And it's going to be the first movie that James Dean will star since Giant in 1956, which is just 1 year after, you know, everyone's probably seen this, Rebel Without a Cause. So it's two companies, Magic City Films, which is the company producing the movie, and they obtained the rights to Dean's image from his family. And then the other company is going to be Canadian VFX studio Imagine Engine and a South African VFX company called MOI Worldwide. So the body will be recreated using CGI technology, and then they'll use another actor to voice his line. So it'll be a bit strange to watch James Dean in a new movie that's set in the Vietnam era, but, you know, it's still just so weird. Because where does this stop then?
Well, this is the thing, really. I mean, I find it a little bit mawkish. For me, I would say that if actors in our current era, where we do have these technologies, if they give the rights for their image to be used in this way after their death, I think that's fine. For actors, for characters, for public people from before that era, I think it should be kind of hands off. Yeah. I don't really like this idea. I mean, you know, even with Star Wars, come on, let Leia go.
Yeah.
I don't want to see her back in, you know, sequel after sequel after sequel, just because you can. The character is gone. Let her go.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it does. It just seems a little bit distasteful to me to be doing this. And especially, like you said, where does it end? Are we going to have movies about Alexander the Great starring the real Alexander the Great? You know, like you said, where does it end? Is the new Winston Churchill biopic going to star Winston Churchill?
Oh, that's just going to be so strange and weird. Because one of the things that I find is strange is that the director said that he was the perfect actor to play this role. I mean, really? Like, you've got, you know, hundreds of thousands of actors all around the world, and James Dean, who's, you know, not been on Earth for, like, you know, nearly 50 over years.
Yeah, exactly. Well, probably more than 50
more
years.
More than that, yeah. And you think that this is the best way to
honor his memory and his legacy. I mean,
that's, you know, distasteful.
Yeah, in 30 or 40 years, are we going to see a Halloween reboot and as the mask comes off, it's Barack Obama? You know, are we going to see all these weird juxtapositions? And we've had these kind of discussions before because it doesn't just end with these kind of film stars. Is Elvis going to be making new music?
Yeah.
You know, is Ozzy Osbourne going to be making music for the next 20 millennia?
Yeah. I mean, concerts and stuff and all.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I mean, we've had various stars, Maria Callas being brought back for holographic shows.
Tupac as well. Tupac, Michael Jackson.
Amy Winehouse, they're working on that show. I don't know if that came out or not.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you know, it is a difficult area, and it's one that I think the artists themselves have to play a part in defining that. I don't think after their death, allowing the estate to decide whether they should go on. I think that decision should be made by the person while they're still alive.
All right. What do we have for Geek Tunes, Matt?
We have the return of Roisin Murphy. She is, kind of left-field electronic star, but occasionally she makes these really amazing disco sounding tracks.
To be honest, I like this.
And yeah, I mean, you listen to this and this could come out of anywhere in the kind of late 70s and early 80s. So this is Roisin Murphy with Narcissus.
BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.